Well, if you want to turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, please. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12 is where we'll be. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Today is the beginning of a mini-series that will be going on probably for at least the next 5 weeks, maybe six. I mentioned it during Vision Night. And a mini-series on what it means to be a biblical church member. A biblical church member. This series was inspired in many ways by a book called I Am a Church Member by Tom Rainer. And basically was written to encourage all of us who are a part of the body. And much of the information I will give you is a result of that book and how it's encouraged me. And I will be using some of the illustrations and points that Brother Rainer made. But the emphasis will be the Word of God, because that's where we're going to find what it means to be a biblical church member. And today, by God's grace, the first message, and I'm so glad you're here. Whether you're a member of this church or a member of another church or praying about a member of another church, this applies to all of us because it is the will of God for all of us to be a member of a New Testament Bible-believing church. That's a non-negotiable. We should do it carefully. And we should do it appropriately. But nevertheless, it is of great importance according to the Word of God. And I want to read here just several verses with the help of the Lord. In 1 Corinthians, you can read along with me silently, but I'd like to start off with 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. A verse that pretty much sums up what we're going to talk about today. Verse 12 says, "For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." Go down to verse 14. "For the body is not one member, but many." Look at verse 18. "But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased Him." Look at verse 27. "Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular." Let's pray together. Father, again, I want to just say thank you. Lord, I'm so glad to be a part of this church. Lord, I understand there is a universal church that exists among all believing, born-again believers. But Lord, then I also know there is a New Testament local church, a local assembly of believers. And Lord, I'm thankful for this one. I'm so thankful, God, that you've led me here to be an under-shepherd of these dear folks. And God, I pray that you would help us together realize and understand our role as church members and what you expect of us. Lord, I pray you'd bless this series. I pray that it would not be my words or anybody else's words, but I pray it'd be your words that work in our hearts. And for that, God, we'll give you the thanks, the honor, and the praise. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I'd like to begin with an illustration here that was given by Brother Rainer called the two church members. I thought it was a pretty fascinating story. Very eye-opening, even to myself as a pastor. And God used it in my life. And I ask you to listen with me for the next couple minutes as I share this story with you. He gives the account of two men, one by the name of Michael and one by the name of Liam. Michael and Liam were meeting for breakfast Monday mornings at 6 a.m. for about a five-month period. It all began as they met each other. They were in the same class, their wives, and there was a young couple's class, Sunday school, Bible study group. And they got to know each other, and Michael extended an invitation to Liam. One day, say, "Hey, why don't we just go get a bite to eat and have some fellowship?" And so, of course, that was what exactly they did. And from that point, it led into basically them meeting once a week on Monday mornings for coffee and a little bit of breakfast. And it was just really a great friendship. Their conversations revolved around sports, politics, and family. They had a lot in common. Michael was 41, Liam was 39 years old. They both had three children. Had a lot in common. They both pulled for football teams at the same conference, but they weren't the same teams. They were actually rivalries. And so they did a lot of trash talking too. And it was just one of those fun relationships that they were encouraging each other and sharpening each other. But on this particular morning that they met for coffee, something was different. Something was different. You know, as they met there, Michael could tell something wasn't quite right. With Liam that morning. He got his usual eggs and had his usual coffee, but he had hardly touched his eggs, and he'd just maybe taken a sip or two of his coffee. He also noticed something in the previous weeks that, you know, something wasn't quite right. It didn't seem like Liam and his wife were quite as engaged in the Sunday school and the Bible study groups and even in church. And there was a little bit of concern there, but as they met here, it came out a little bit more strongly. And as they sat there, he could notice Liam was growing more and more uncomfortable. So Michael decided that he would just say, "Hey, is everything all right? I perceive that something may be wrong." And there seemed to just be a long pause. And Lemuel, his response was, Liam's response was this: "Michael, Lena, that's Liam's wife, we've decided to leave the church." And of course, there was an awkward silence there. But Michael sort of broke the awkward silence and said, "Liam, you want to talk about it?" And just a humble voice and whatnot. And he didn't know if Liam was going to cut it off right there or if they were going to keep going forward. And he started to open up. And Liam went on to say some things that had just started snowballing and growing in his life. And he started off to say, "You know, first of all, I want to say, we've been coming to the church," and Liam said, we come to get the deep truths of God. And Pastor Roberts just doesn't seem to be getting it, doesn't seem to be cutting it for us. And he's really not feeding us. We're not getting fed." Michael thought he might have stopped right there, but it didn't stop right there. It continued going. He said, "And you know, there are several great people in the church." He said, "Michael, you and your wife, you're dear people, you're class act, we love you, and there's several great people in the church." But he said, "Michael, also, I there's hypocrites in the church." He said, "You know, these hypocrites, did you hear Johnny the other day at the ball game? I mean, he embarrassed us all yelling at those refs." Now, you've been there, I've been there too. You were the one yelling. I was too, okay? Let's admit it. But honestly, we've been there where we've been in those situations. And he went on to say a couple other things here. He said, "You know, this thing of the hypocrites." And he said, "You know, and there's another guy. He's supposed to be a pillar in the church. And everybody knows what's going on in his life. And I just don't know how I can really keep going on." And it's quite obvious at this point that Liam was angry, but it was a controlled anger. It was simply just really frustrated, and he just began to vent. And then he came out and said, "You know, listen, I know Pastor Roberts. He seems like he cares for us. He acts like he does anyway. But then, you know, Lena's dad was sick in the hospital. And, you know, as my wife, I care about her dad as well. And you know, Pastor Roberts didn't go and visit her dad. He had surgery, and you know, I was very disappointed in that he didn't go visit." And Michael at the time knew that Pastor had actually called and prayed with this gentleman and prayed with him, but he didn't want to bring that up because it wasn't the time. There was already a lot of tension. He didn't think it would do any good. And he went on to say this. He says, "Look, and again, I really like you and Karen and the kids." He said, "I like some other people, but," he says, I'm having a problem." And then he said this, and this is kind of getting to the end of the conversation. He said, "I don't understand it, Michael." He said, "There's just something different about you." He said, "You seem so enthused about church." He said, you You seem to go and just give it your all and just try to be a blessing. And he said, quite frankly, he said, listen, Michael, don't take this the wrong way. But he says, I just feel like you're really just blinded. Like you're in denial or something about the problems in the church, and you just seem to go press forward. And that was his response. And he said, you know, why is that? And he asked with a sincere heart, why is it that we have two different perspectives? You know, it's a story that's very real, not only in this situation, but in many of our churches. There's two different perspectives as a church member. And by God's grace, even today, I want to try to clarify what the biblical perspective is of a church member. Based on Lifeway research, there was 557 churches from 2004 to 2010 that were surveyed and researched. And you know, 9 out of those 10 churches were declining in their membership. And they were declining or growing at a pace that was slower to their communities and their growth. And, you know, another situation as they did this survey, one thing they saw was the generation gap. There was they call the builders generation, those that were born before the year 1946. There was a survey on that, and 67% of that generation born before 1946, 67% were professing Christians, at least gave the testimony of being Christians. Well, listen to the difference. You go over 2 more generations, you have your baby boomers, and then you have the millennials. Those that were born from 1980 to year 2000. I just made that threshold. I was born in 1980, but from 1980, those were born from 1980 to year 2000, the same survey was done, and of those churches, and of those 557, 15% claimed to be Christians. 15%. And listen, that's mind-boggling just saying that, but then you realize this, the millennials make up the majority of the population of the United States of America with 80 million people. That is the majority of the United States of America, that generation, and only 12% of that generation is claiming to be professing Christians. And so we got to start asking ourselves some questions as a church. Church in general, the different churches, but also Crooked Creek Baptist Church. And I believe God's going to use this study to help renew and remind us of our great responsibility as biblical church members. Why is that? What was the gap for? Well, we could start pointing fingers, couldn't we? Y'all, you know we could. We could both say, you know, it's that ungodly secular culture. That's the problem. You know, it's those politicians, you know. I tell you what, we can't do anything. They're just as corrupt as all get out. We could start blaming those things, and we do. You know what else we could start blaming? We could start blaming the churches. This church is getting away. They're not preaching this or preaching that, and that could be true. We start blaming those things. And we can even start blaming the hypocritical church members. Oh, they come to church and they act like everything's okay. And you know what? They know who they are. And you know what? We could start blaming them. We can start blaming the pastors. We can start blaming the church leaders and say, well, you know, if they did this a little different and preached that a little different and did this and did that, you know, we'd probably be all right. But I believe I come to the same conclusion that Brother Rainer comes to, and I believe it is a biblical conclusion. The problem is if the true New Testament biblical church member will just go and look in the mirror. That's what we need to do. We need to remember that what God's going to hold us accountable for is who we were and our different roles. But one of those roles is, what did we do as a New Testament, Bible-believing, local church member? How did we function as a church member for the glory of God? That will be the question. And that is something that we will look at in the Word of God. What is a functioning church member? Well, can I just define function first? It is this, the action for which a person or thing is specially fitted or used or for which a thing exists. I like this one. Any group of related actions contributing to a larger action. And folks, our larger action is to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. It is to make much of Him in this world. Not much of this church, not much of us, but we are here to make much of the Lord Jesus, our Savior. And that is a great task. We see here in this passage that we read, my dear friends, we see the Bible clearly stating the function of a church member. Paul uses the metaphor of the human body to give us a clear illustration of this truth, of how the body, even the human body, works together for one cause, for one purpose. And God brings that to our minds very clearly here. I want us to see some truths here that we can apply to wherever you are as a member of a New Testament church. I want us to see, first of all, that membership means we are all necessary parts of the whole. That's number one. Membership means that we are all necessary parts. I see that very clearly here in the passage. He will actually even hit the point where there may be some that seem not as needed. But he said, oh, they may seem insignificant, but he says, I guarantee you this, I'm paraphrasing. He said, I bet they're in a support role. I bet they're in a support role, and I'll explain that here in just a minute. But what does this mean about a membership means we're all necessary parts of the whole? Well, number one, can I say this? You have been placed in this church as a member, or wherever church you are a member, you have been placed in that church by design. Isn't that an awesome thought to think that the Holy Spirit has placed me into the church that I am by design? You know, this ear right here. And this ear right here. You see them? Would y'all love me if I still look like this? I do that to my wife often. These ears were placed here by design. And by the way, God gave me two of them. God gave me twice as many of these as He did these. That's because He wants us to listen twice as much as we do speak. Amen? Man, we need to really take heed to that. But the fact of the matter is, these were placed by God for a design, for a purpose, and they're needed. And the first thing we got to realize in looking at understanding the biblical role of a functioning church member is to realize that you have been placed in that place by design. You've been designed to put there. And not only that have you been placed there, but I want to say your design is essential. It is essential. Listen, can I say this? And you've heard me say it, and I'll say it again. There's no such thing as an insignificant church member. No such thing. You are an essential part of the body of Christ, of the New Testament local church. It matters. You know, when I went out there to help bring those wonderfully smelling, deliciously looking donuts this morning, I could have gone in there and I could have said, now look, I got these hands, I got these fingers, I got these arms. But how weird would it have been if I would have said, now look, Brother Ed, Sister Janice, just put two bags on each ear right there, okay? Hanging on that ear. These things flap, okay? They don't hold. That's because it's not their function, friend. That's not their function. God gave me some hands and some fingers, and boy, you better believe I used them for them donuts. I had four bags of those things coming in. All mine, I was saying. Just kidding. Lord knows I don't need them. Y'all know that too. Thank you. I appreciate that. Honesty. Honesty. That's what we need. But we see that we have functions and they're important. Now look at this. Now somebody can really pick on the pinky. And some can even pick on the pinky toe. Now, say, now Brinson, there's nothing wrong with that. That pinky toe, it's really not doing any good. It's there, it's ugly, and it's doing no good. Well, I want to tell you, God says differently. And not only does God say differently, He's the one that gave it to us, but also there are secular scientists that say that. Listen to some secular scientists here, all right? They're not even putting God in the equation, but look at their explanation of the pinky toe. The pinky is part of a complex system within the foot. Thank you, Captain Obvious. In fact, every standard foot is composed of 30 joints. 30 joints, 28 bones, and more than 100 tendons and ligaments. All these parts can make any foot injury extra unpleasant. We know that too. Brother Josh sees it all the time. Any pain in that area is definitely high since it's mostly muscle and blood, leading to more inflammation and aches when swollen. You see, they were just talking about the foot. And we're talking about how fitly joined together it is. And you know, you say, well, each of those 100 tendons and ligaments, you mean they're important? Yeah. They seem insignificant. We don't really usually talk about the 100 ligaments and tendons in the foot, but God put them there, friend. And if you've been placed in the New Testament local church, your place is important. We got to understand. Even, here's another one. Secular scientists, they're not even putting God in the equation, they're just the Creator. It's awesome. They say this, in fact, our reliance on the foot's tripod of balance, the heel, the pinky toe, and the big toe, is pretty critical, they say. Loss of one of those elements can significantly inhibit a person's ability to skip, run, or walk. Well, that's right, because that's what God gave us those things for. A perfect tripod for us to be able to walk. And they're each important. And we got to realize that my dear friends, as you're a member of this church, we cannot go any further in this message unless you truly realize that your part is important. And God has made it that way. Secondly, membership means we are different, but we still work together. Now, we don't really have to convince each other that we're different, do we? We're a unique bunch. Amen to that. We sure are, friends. Every single one of us is unique in our own way. And that's a blessing. Because that's the way God intended it to be. We are all unique, but at the same time, with all our differences, the plan of God is to take all these differences of these talents and these gifts and these personalities and all these different people, and He's like, I'm going to show my power. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to take all these crazy people, okay? And I'm going to take all these crazy people, and really they're sheep too, and I'm going to put them all together. And I am going to, by my power, show how I can unify them completely in Jesus Christ. It's a miracle of God. When we understand the biblical role of a New Testament member, doesn't matter our differences, doesn't matter our preferences, those things really don't matter. If we're yielded to the Holy Spirit of God who brings us together, we see in that passage so clearly, we're unique, but we're united by the grace of God. Isn't that beautiful, church? Membership means we're different, but we still work together. And I'll say more about that. But friends, the way we can see a healthy New Testament church is people having respect for the differences of other people. A mutual respect that you might have a gift that I don't, that you might have a preference that I don't. You know what? There's a mutual agreement. There's a unity there that we can say, look, but we can, in the bond of Jesus Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit, still fulfill our God-given purpose as church members. You see, membership means we are different, but we still work together. And this idea of unique, hey, the ear is unique from the pinky. They're unique. The body parts are unique. But guess what? The body, the way God intended the human body, in the same way the church, get this. Now get this. I love it. We are dependent on each other. We're dependent on each other. I need you. We need each other. We are not only unique and unified, but we are really depending on each other to function properly. And for that matter, we must allow God to do what He's going to do. And that brings me to my next point. Membership means that we're all necessary parts of the whole. Membership means we are different, but still work together. Then thirdly, listen to this. Membership means everything we say and do is based on a biblical foundation of love. Let me say that again. Everything that we say or do is based on a biblical foundation of love. Think about that. Now listen, I know we're coming up on Valentine's Day. Praise God, I love Valentine's Day. It's a wonderful time of year. Especially because little Debbie makes the little pink hearts that I really love, okay? I need to stop eating those things, don't I? Do you see where God placed 1 Corinthians 13? 1 Corinthians 13, I know we use it for love, for husband and wives, and boy, we use it for this and that in the area of love, and boy, in ministry, love, it's true. I know all that's true, and we should use those, but do you know the context of this chapter? He is writing to a carnal bunch of believers. Living in ungodliness, they were in sexual immorality, there was a lot of mess going on, and he's writing to encourage them, he's writing to them the function of the local church. But you know, right between chapters 12, where we're talking about the functioning church member, and chapters 14, where it also talks about a functioning church member, right in the middle, he puts the chapter of love. Because folks, I want to tell you right now, we have lost all hope if we are not a church member filled with the love of Jesus Christ. Look at those verses with me in chapter 13. I'm just going to read a couple of them. Look there with me. Verses 4 through 8. For the sake of time, I'll just read verses 4 through 8. Think about this as a church member. And can I say this before I start reading? Think about this for a church member that you disagree with. Think about this with a church member that gets on your nerves. He said, "Preacher, that's you. I'm just going to be honest." Think about what Paul is saying here to the church as a church member. He says this, "Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth." That right there was written for the New Testament local church member. And that, my friends, is what should be exhibited in our lives on a daily basis. And through this local church, Crooked Creek Baptist Church, that should be a characteristic that is vibrant through this body. And is shown in great abundance toward one another. And that, my friends, is the power of God, no doubt about it. Because we know that the Spirit hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of love. And of power and of a sound mind. We see here that love, agape love, true unconditional love, with all our idiosyncrasies and man, all our little differences and petty disagreements and this and that, I'm telling you what, hey, love covers all that up. Love, can I just say this and moving quickly, love is the foundation of this New Testament local church. It is the foundation of a healthy church. And if we're going to have a real healthy church, it's going to be founded on the love of Christ. And not only is it foundational, but get this, it is motivational for a healthy church. It's what guides us and keeps us in times of disagreement, in times of confusion perhaps, in times of offenses. Hey, that love, that biblical love binds our hearts. When we disappoint each other, when we fail each other, that love of Christ, it keeps us strong in the body. Praise God for that. We see that membership means everything we say and do is based on biblical foundational love. But then in closing, this morning, point number 4, I want us to see that church membership is a functioning membership. Now, there have been times where I have even thought of this myself. So when I say this, we've all fallen into this category at times. But it is a fundamental truth to understand as a biblical church member. Listen up, please. Listen up. It is this. God expects us to be a functioning member. The local church is not a country club membership. A lot of times, we as God's people, and we've all been in this category, we all are always thinking about what can I get out of the church. That is a country club mentality. What are my perks? I'm paying my dues. I'm paying my tithe. What y'all gonna do for me? That's an unbiblical perspective of membership. Unbiblical. Nowhere in the Word of God will you see that is the motivation and foundation of church membership. Yes, the Word of God says we serve one another. No doubt about it. Yes, we are to encourage one each other. No doubt about it. Yes, we are to provide the gospel for our community. No doubt about it. But coming with this entitlement mentality that I pay my dues, you owe me, is unbiblical. And it will hurt us. It will harm us. Because there have been people that even carry the mentality, well, listen, I'll give large contributions of money. By the way, I count it a philosophy of this church right here. I do not look at the giving records. I do not want to look at the giving records. I do not want to know who's tithing. I don't know whether you tithe or not, friend. That's not my responsibility. That's between you and God. You'll give an account to God one day. I don't look at that. I tithe. If you don't believe me, you ask our treasurer. Hopefully he'll tell the truth. Brother Mark tells the truth. But the truth of the matter is, we're speaking here that sometimes we'll get in this mentality that if we give our dues, our tithe, hey, listen, and I'll give lots of it, that means I can just take a back seat and not do anything and y'all just do the rest for me. Hey, that's an unbiblical perspective. God wants us not to look at the local church as a country club membership, but He wants us to look at it as a local church membership. Do you see the difference? One is man-made, one is God-made. You know, I don't know if I have it right here in my wallet. Some of you may have this one. If I don't have it, I think everybody should go through their wallet at least once a month. Some weird stuff gets in there. This right here is a Sam's business card. I'm sure some of you may have that. This is not mine personally. This belongs to the church. But man, with Sam's membership, don't you just get all kinds of perks? No. That's a rip-off if I've ever seen one, but I'm not getting into that. You know, one of their perks, I just thought it was so generous. This is one I got online. I started looking at their perks, and I was like, oh, man, I'm going to find some cool stuff. I'm going to take advantage of it. But you know, one of them was, and they're just so generous. Can I just say this? They said that for our members that are business members, we will let you come in an hour before opening. Do what? You come at 7 and do your shopping. We'll let you in. Oh, gee, thanks. Just maybe I wanted to sleep in. All right, I'm moving on here. But you see what I'm saying. There's perks. All these memberships, these worldly memberships, these human memberships, my friend, do not equate that with God's membership. We come to God's house to serve, not to be served. We come to give, not to be takers. We can receive, but God Almighty said it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. But sometimes we get in that mentality that we want to do this all the time. What can you do for me? I've done this. I paid my dues. What are y'all doing for me? Again, that is not the way God wants us to look. I tell you what we ought to do. This is New Testament Christianity and local church. I give my tithes. I give my faith promise. I come and I serve. I try to get involved where I can with my gifts and my abilities for the Lord, wherever that may be. And I give and I give and I give and I give with no strings attached. Amen, church. No strings attached. And what you give me. Now, we have certain rights. That's a blessing. One of those is voting. You come as a New Testament believer and you join up to this church. When we're making financial decisions as a body where we want to be in unity and we want to grow together, guess what? We're going to bring that before the body. And we're going to have a voice. Of course, you're going to have rights. But what I'm talking about is the aspect of always expecting the church to do for you, instead of what you can do for the church. God used here the illustration of the body to show a unified whole in its mission of preaching the gospel, of its purpose, its ministry, its activities. You know, everyone should be a functioning church member. The idea, get this, and I don't mean to pick on anybody here, but the idea of an inactive member is an oxymoron. The idea of an active, inactive member is an oxymoron. Listen, I understand the element of those, and we'll get through that when we start working through our Constitution here in the next few weeks, next few months. We're going to be working through that together as a church. But I understand there's that element in inactive, but I'm telling you what, you won't find anything such thing as an inactive member in the New Testament. You just won't. Either you're active or you're not. And I believe that God wants us to be functioning members so that we might work together in the most full effect for the glory of our God. It's not about furthering Crooked Creek. It's about furthering the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what it's about, my dear friend. And one of the things that you and I should be continually asking ourselves, and yes, that's even me. I'm the pastor, but guess what? I'm a church member too. And something we need to continually be asking ourselves is this: how can I best serve my church? With my gifts and talents, it may not be much, but you ought to be saying, Lord, lay on my heart something I can do for my church. To pour myself into the body that you have created, the local church. And how can I best be used for your glory in helping my church? God Almighty is seeking to do a great and marvelous work in our church. But we have to be willing to make a commitment to be a faithful church member. I got here in my hand an article that I cut out of the Jackson Herald, January 31st, 2018. And it's good news, by the way. If you don't get the Jackson Herald, I'm telling you, you haven't lived yet, okay? I love Jackson Herald. They're okay. But this article was entitled this: Unprecedented Growth Predicted for Region. And basically what it was is this company, by owner, the co-owner, Frank Norton, Norton Agency of Gainesville, they had this meeting, and it's basically talking about how, and it's the real deal, how much our area, this area of Georgia, Northeast, is just exploding in growth, and technology, residents moving in. It's amazing what is going on here. But it's something while I was reading this that tied right into this message, and just let me read this to you right here. The second part of the article said this: Norton also pointed out that Georgia has been named the number one state in the country in which to do business for the fifth straight year. He says this: Georgia is in the crosshairs of explosive technology growth, he said. Norton said mastering the balance between high touch, get this, and high tech will be a key to future success. Now that caught my attention. What are you talking about, high touch and high tech? He explains, human touch has become a lost art. He said, business that is more socially sustainable, environmentally conscious, will be dominant, he said. And this is the key that really got me. This is the statement that really got me, that ties right into what we're talking about. Get this: a key will be and proving the community rather than extracting from it. Did you get that? The key to the community of growth to go along with this technological boom is to be a contributor, to be involved in improving the community and not being so set on what you can extract from it. My dear friends, that truth is absolutely accurate for the New Testament church member as well. Now you say, now Pastor, I must correct you here. The house of God, the local church, is not a business. I disagree with you. It is a business. It's God's business. It's not an earthly business where we're trying to profit earthly goods. But if I'm not mistaken, I believe our Savior even said it, didn't he? Didn't he, Brother Ricky?
Yes, sir.
He said to his parents, did y'all not know I'm about my Father's business? That's a heavenly business, my dear friends. That's an eternal business. And that's the business of the local church, to be about our Father's business. And I praise God for the opportunity to be a part of this church for this time, because I believe God's going to use our church as a lighthouse as these hundreds and thousands in the next 10, 20 years move into this area. We're going to reach them with the gospel. But boy, we won't reach them unless we're a healthy, local New Testament church with healthy New Testament church members, realizing that the problem is not society, the problem is not the culture, the problem is not the government, the problem is not the church. The problem comes right down to the member who decides they're going to do something. And they're going to say, you know what? I need to give of myself. I'm in too much of this. I need to find out where my ability is and my talent and use it for the Lord. And this is where it gets tricky. Because in order for the New Testament church to be able to do that, stick with me. We can't just let a few make that commitment. Because what happens when just a few make that commitment? They get overloaded. They get burnt out. It happens to us. We want to be used of God, and so we start plugging ourselves in every area possible, and the church member gets burnt out, and then we end up shooting ourselves in the foot. But I tell you what, if every one of us here will just make a simple commitment, Lord, You've divinely placed me here as a member. Teenagers, I want to encourage you as your pastor. Can I say this from heart to heart? I realize that God may be moving you. When you get an adult, God's given you that ability to make decisions for yourself with godly counsel. God may move you to a different ministry, a different church. But can I respectfully ask you to consider something? God has placed you here now for such a time as this. Would you commit to the Lord God saying, God, I just want to use my talents for You, for the furtherance of the gospel? Because listen, it's not about you. It's not about me. It's about the Lord. And it's about the furtherance of the gospel in our community. I ask you, my dear teen friends, to consider that. And all the church members here, let's ask ourselves, are we being a functional New Testament church member? God will enable us to do that. I have here that was also in that book, I thought it was very appropriate. It's called The First Pledge of this series, of this message I preached. It's called I Am a Church Member, and it's the first one of these series. And I'm going to read this to you. You can read it with me. I'm not sure. Are we going to have access to the projector? Do I need to turn anything on here, Brother Mike? All right. I'm going to read it, and you read it along with me, and we'll close our service after this. I ask you to make this commitment with me even today, whether you're a church member here or somewhere else. I like the metaphor of membership. It's not membership as in a civic organization or a country club. It's the kind of membership given to us in 1 Corinthians 12. Now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it. Because I am a member of the body of Christ, I must be a functioning member, whether I am an eye, an ear, or hand. As a functioning member, I will give, I will serve, I will minister, I will evangelize, I will study, I will seek to be a blessing to others. I will remember that if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Church, we need to make that commitment. We need to ask the Lord to renew that commitment, because what is our theme this year? It's to be trusted. It's to be faithful. God has entrusted us with the gift of membership, local church membership. And this is the foundational message of what I will be preaching in the Sundays to come. But let's let it begin today by saying, God, I want to be renewed in my faithfulness as a church member at Crooked Creek Baptist Church or wherever you may be a member. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this marvelous truth of your word. Father, you have taught me so much through this study. And Lord, I too have failed to be a strong, trusted church member. And Lord, I want to grow. And I pray for my brothers and sisters here. Lord, whether they're a member here at this church or a different church or wherever, whatever the case may be, God, I pray that we would all make a commitment that we're not going to be takers, but we're going to be givers. Oh God, we want to be a vibrant, functioning, living, effective local New Testament church in this community. We don't want to be set on the shelf of uselessness. Oh God, fill us with your power. Strengthen us even today as we commit to you to be the church members you desire for us to be. Father, we'll thank you for what you do. Even from this message, even from your word, even today, what you will do. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.